Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Rosenbloom, Mark Grody. It's a special edition of Saturday Suckage on a Monday. They suck so you don't have to. On 670 The Score, an Odyssey station.
It sucks and it freebases.
This is all new. This is Monday. It's Saturday Suckage on a Monday. The WB Club people are waking up going, oh yeah, it's Saturday. And it feels like a Saturday because it's a holiday. And here we are as our 5-hour suckathon begins. And I didn't know. There's a whole new opening. I'm just stunned by that. But I guess we're gonna do radio. Hi Mark Grody, happy 5th of July to you.
It's such a hopeful-sounding bed right there, just full of optimism. And I think the funniest thing has already happened this morning, and that is you and I are both today broadcasting remotely. You are in your place. I am in my place. Trash Panda is in his place. And right before we came on the air, Trash Panda gave up. He said, you guys are both talking to me at the same time. I can't keep up with this. I'm sorry. Let's start the show.
That's right. Nobody was sure who was producing the show earlier. Nobody was sure if we could get on the air. But here we are, broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. And we were just having a production meeting because we need to do the Score's Trash Panda wedding package.
That's right.
That has to happen, you know, like at home plate at Guaranteed Rate Field or in the bleachers at Wrigley or something like that. That's where it has to be. We could probably get a hotel to give us, because for those of you who missed Saturday, one of our guests was our producer, and Trash Panda performed the wedding. He was the officiant, and as the officiant, he told us, what was it? You only had to do two things. There's only two rules. Is that right, Trash Panda? Are you awake enough to do this?
No, I'm not actually. Okay, no, there was two things that needed to happen, and those two things were done.
Okay. And we'll explain to the audience, and there's only one person listening right now, so explain
to
our audience. Yes, we have one person listening. That's
really?
So
are we sure?
We know who our audience is.
Wake up the audience?
Suckage knows no holiday. That's a 815. I told you we have an audience. So in our audience, just to share with our audience, the two things are, do they have to do it willingly, voluntarily? It's not a shotgun wedding, right? That's one, Trash Panda?
Yeah, they have to take each other, yes. That's something they have to say. You take X person to be your wife and then husband or husband and husband. This was a husband and wife in this case.
Lawfully, yeah?
Lawfully, yes.
There is lawful.
Okay, and then the other thing is you get to do the great pronouncement. That's the only other legal obligation Trash Panda Pastor, or should we call him Trash Pastor?
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah?
Yep. He's the Trash Pastor. I'm not even going to try to warm up.
He's the Trash Pastor, and then he says, I now pronounce you, in this case, man and wife. It could be, I don't know, what, husband and wife, man and man, woman and woman,
whatever it is. Right? Pronouns, right?
But the neo-pronouns, I'm not quite sure. It's X-E-Z-E and F-A-E-R. I don't know. I'm behind in my reading and understanding of the neo-pronouns. Have you had to learn them, Trash Panda, for your pastor duties?
No, I haven't. But, I mean, I certainly would if that, you know, whatever couple were to prefer, whatever they prefer, you know, I'll call them it.
Okay. All right, we will get to that later. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. Our text line is the same number, 312-644-6767. The text zone is presented to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. 630, texter already in. I'm listening. 847, it's only me listening. 630, morning boys. 708, I'm here with a short and then an abbreviation for a word that I don't want to say. 708, I'm listening, and interestingly, I'm officiating a wedding in a few months. This is appointment suckage for me. Hey, that's a good term, appointment suckage. So here's the appointment suckage. Here's the rumor, in case you were celebrating the 4th of July. The White Sox are rumored to be interested in Trevor Story, the shortstop for the Colorado Rockies. MLB trade rumors carried this story from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Also, the Odyssey MLB insider we had on the show Saturday, when Saturday Suckage was actually on a Saturday. And the report said Colorado isn't expected to trade Story to anybody before the All-Star break, which is coming up. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. So you say, well, how does this happen, Trevor Story? Well, does that mean Tim Anderson moves to second? And this is all kinds of bad. That's my first reaction. Trevor Story to the Sox is all kinds of bad, and here's why. Don't move one of your leaders to play a position where he might be worse at, to fit in somebody who's awful, awful, awful away from Coors. He's away from the thin air in Colorado. This is just one little number that tells you what you need to know. Trevor Story's OPS at home is 869. Away, it's more than 200 points worse. His batting average is 309 at Coors. His batting average away from Coors is 184. I don't care if you don't think batting average means anything. It talks about what an awful player he is away from Coors Field. I think this would be a terrible mistake, even with Nick Madrigal out and the Sox wanting to go for it. What do you think, Mark Rohde?
Every Colorado Rocky player ever is what you just mentioned. Like every star player. Like that's always the dig, right? On every single guy that has been either an all-star or a player of prominence from the Colorado Rockies. Look at their splits. My God, they're awesome at home, and then they just drop off the map at home. I would not, like, in principle, I rarely have a problem with anybody from the left side of the infield moving to the right side of the infield because it's just not as hard of a position. So I get what you're saying. Like, don't mess with something good in Tim Anderson. It's not like Tim Anderson is a gold glover. So I think that in principle, in general, Tim Anderson could very much handle playing second base. Now the question of Trevor Story is, what are you willing to give up though? That's the thing. Like the point that you made is a good one, that like what is he away from Coors Field? And you kind of just outlined it. I guess in this case, it would depend. Like don't give up something massive for Trevor Story at this point based on that. But on the overall, I still think, having seen a lot of Trevor Story through the years, that he is a good ball player. I mean, he is a plus player, a two war player. His power numbers are down a little bit this year, even at Coors Field, 11 home runs this year. But let us also not forget that U.S. Cellular, or excuse me, Guaranteed Rate Field, that's a hitter's ballpark too. So if you have Story at your home games at White Sox Park, you probably have a pretty good product and a guy who is, you know, can hit it out of that park or hit well at that park, considering what summers at Guaranteed Rate Field are like. So on the overall, I think I just talked through it. I would do it. I'm interested, but I also would not be giving up like one of the buzzword names. Like I would not give up a Garrett Crochet in this case. Obviously, I would not give up an Andrew Vaughn type. This would have to be more middle to high level prospect, I think.
I still would not do it. I guess the only way I would ever think about doing it, I still don't like those splits, because the danger is the way it drops off with this guy from this season, from last season to this, from his past seasons
this,
to this
guy.
Season, this guy. So he's he's slashing, but basically he hit to 445, and he slashed in the last three seasons 554. That drop off scares me. Going away from Coors Field scares me. But here's what really would be a problem for me is if Tim Anderson wasn't. I don't want him just to go along with it. I want him to lead it, to get out in front of it, to him to say, look, if this guy's coming here, I'll move to second. We'll play this game, and we'll win. We'll be a better team. I want Tim Anderson actually to own the trade. I want to hear that from him, because he would have to be. You can't make this trade if you're the White Sox and go to one of your, maybe your loudest. Certainly, he's their loudest leaders. For all the wonderful voices that the White Sox have, and they're great, from Lance Lynn to Liam Hendricks, but Tim Anderson is, he's the voice of swag. He's the voice of how they go. And unless he owns it, and you have to tell him ahead of time so he can get out ahead of it and say to the media, if we're doing this, I'm all for it. I'm moving to second for this guy. But
well,
previously, we haven't heard him, right? I mean, there was kicked around ideas of going to center field, and he goes, no, I'm a shortstop.
Wasn't yeah, he was like, screw that. Yeah. And remember when the whole Machado thing happened, and that was the strong talk of Manny Machado coming to the White Sox, and Tim Anderson was like, no. Nah. I'm glad he didn't come here. I'm the damn shortstop. Then all of a sudden, Tim Anderson became this MVP level player. And a texter at the top makes a good, the listener has made a good point. Yeah, can Story play? Why can't Trevor Story play second base? I guess it's just because they consider him to be a better shortstop. But, I mean, they probably could do that and just keep things as they are, because there is something to what you said in not messing with a good thing, especially with your leader, especially the most important position on the field. I still believe that, and you could argue catcher, well, pitcher is, but, you know, why not Story over at second? So play with that a little bit, but on the overall, I'm pro.
No, you're wrong. I'm sorry. You're entitled to your wrong opinion, but you're wrong. I just think this is a bad move. Now, let's talk about this. There is a local team and has to be in a trade mode because the Cubs are sucking like it's the playoffs. Ooh. So, you know who played second base for a while? That Javi Baez guy. And there's a guy who hits his OPS is 740 at home and 724 away. Neither are great numbers, but in a down year, he's still more consistent than Trevor Story. He has played second base. He has played it well when he played it. And he's a guy that, well, he's going to be available. He's going to be a rental, and that's all the Sox. I think that's all they really want to pay. Because if you're going after somebody with that the Adam Frazier type with the extra year, and you got Nick Madrigal coming back, and you're just giving up too much and getting. If you win a World Series, everything's worth it. We saw that with Aroldis Chapman. The Yankees can have Gleyber Torres however you want to do this, you can have those guys. The Cubs got their World Series. Now, they've sucked ever since. They've choked ever since. But they got their World Series. So everything's, if you overpay for whatever deal you're going to make and you win the World Series, you have accomplished step one. Then comes sustained success, and we saw the Cubs couldn't do that. It looks like the White Sox system is far better. Their organization is far better. Their development is far smarter than the Cubs. So you would think they would have a better chance to do that. But you got Chris Bryant. I bet he could play second base. That's just what he does. You got Chris Bryant, and I don't want to hear, and I know Moncada could probably go there, right? But you don't want to start moving people around. But you
Moncada might need to go to second base, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. If we just hand off the ball, that's all we want him to do. Just hand off the ball until Justin Fields gets there.
So, Moncada was worse at second base.
I know, but I'm just
I'm just talking about the last month, man. He can't get the ball out of his glove. He can't throw the ball when he gets the ball out of his glove. So it's just
it's a shorter error at second base for Moncada. So anyways, Bryant's available, has to be. But Baez is a guy, if you're the White Sox, you could rent him. He can't cost too much. You could trade him for a third grader. I think that's what Jed's trying to lock up now, based on the Darvish trade. And by the way, the point about Machado that you made, Mark, when not just coming here, but when he went to San Diego, and then Machado was one of the guys who went to management and said, you're not sending Fernando Tatis down. I'll move to third base so he can play shortstop. That's what, if Tim Anderson's in favor of this, that's what he has to do. But Machado was one of the two veterans, I think. It was two or three veterans who went to San Diego management, the Padres, and said, this guy's got to be here. There's no other way to do it. I'll change positions to make sure he's on the roster. Now, that's the kind of thing you'd need to see from Tim Anderson, or I wouldn't do it. You can go get a second baseman. You can get a rent a second baseman. How do you think Javi Baez would play on the south side?
My God, I mean, he'd come in and be like, guys, I know you guys got a lot of swagger and the chains and everything, but I started all that. So your leader is here. I have arrived from the home planet. Oh, man, Baez would fit in unbelievably well on the south side with that group of guys. But one thing, you know, as you're discussing not giving up too much for any of these rental players and the idea, you know, you did mention the Aroldis Chapman Gleyber Torres deal, and that's always the go-to. But there is one thing that has happened to the Cubs that I don't want to see happen to the White Sox, and that is the idea, the concept of falling in love with your own players to the point where there is not only a what they do physically on the field for you, but then there is that we drafted you, you are our son, emotional attachment, something that Theo Epstein essentially admitted about his players, that he fell in love with them. And maybe if Theo Epstein looks back and he writes his book about this era of Cubs baseball, he'd probably say, yeah, that maybe after 2017, I would have traded Kyle Schwarber or Hayward or Bryant or any of these guys. You know what I mean? Like, or some of the stud prospects or whomever at some point in time. And I've noticed this as a pattern with White Sox fans, you know, following along on the text lines and other shows that are on. Sox fans don't want to give up anybody. And I think that is also, I feel that from the front office as well. Hopefully they are a little bit more detached than the fans are. But that was always the same thing with the Cubs. They didn't want to give up anybody. Here, take this no-name prospect. That's not realistic. So what I'm saying is somewhere along the line, whether this year or next year or whenever, the Sox are going, fans are going to have to deal with the idea of parting with one of their favorite sons or one of the guys for whom they have extreme hope. It just has to happen. And I think there's no better time than now, because you have to look at it like, this is the best chance the White Sox are going to have to win a World Series. Just look at it as in the next 20 years. And I get it. Everybody says, like, sustained success and who knows what's going to happen. But that's just it. Who knows what's going to happen after this year? This is your best chance to win a World Series. So stop being so attached to the players that you have right now.
Is there an example of White Sox doing that, of Rick Hahn doing that or not doing that? I mean, Rick Hahn has always seemed impervious to that. I don't know that he would – I don't know that he's.
That's a good question.
To do that, but.
But everybody is here. They are full. You know what I mean? Like, everybody that was supposed to be somebody in this version of the White Sox is doing it, right? I mean, am I missing anybody right now? Everybody is here or on the verge of being here and contributing. So now is when we find out about Rick Hahn. You know, maybe there is a precedent that I'm missing, but the band is all here, and now Rick Hahn has to make tough decisions to make the team better. That's the part. Like, we're not talking about rebuilding or breaking down. We're talking about making a move to make your team better, you know? So, I don't know. That's a good question. Has he done something that I'm missing that would you know, I guess the trading last year of who's the pitcher in the pitch in the playoffs last year was a rookie last year. He's on Texas now. I'm having a 7:19 in the morning.
Dane Dunning?
There you go.
Dane Dunning? Yeah, I guess that was that was disaster. Dane Dunning. That was Ricky Renteria, and that was how you got your manager and pitching coach fired, because they had no idea. They resisted the idea of an opener. They had no idea how to use it if they ever got to it. It was a complete failure in the dugout of a stratagem that was never exercised and needed to be.
Well, I will always say to that, as long as we're on it, that Rick Hahn gets some culpability there too, because he allowed Ricky Renteria to use Carlos Rodon out of the bullpen in a key regular season game, and then in the postseason, you had Matt Foster walking guys in left there. He allowed for those guys to be available. So while I was on board with the whole idea that Ricky Renteria doesn't seem to know exactly what he's doing, Rick Hahn allowed for those players to be available, and shame on him if he wasn't picking the brain of his manager about a game plan for that day. So I don't like the idea that Rick Hahn has skated free on that bad series against the Oakland A's. And Liam Hendricks.
Yes. Now this is sort of Captain Obvious stuff, but
yeah,
it's a necessary comparison, because you're talking about Javi Baez. His OBS plus is 100, so that's adjusted to ballparks, and that's, you know, where you go. His OPS 732, and
who's that?
Leury Garcia is a 651.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now I know it's Captain Obvious, and your slugging percentage, Javi's is 458, and Leury Garcia is 332. But we're talking about the guy's most. You're talking about second base. What can you do to improve second base? And when you talk about WAR, Javi's is 2.1 this year, and Leury Garcia's is 1.0. And Leury Garcia is so versatile, so valuable. He has really been an important. I mean, I was stunned the other. Was it Saturday? We were on the air. We got the White Sox lineup.
Yeah, Saturday.
He was hitting like fifth. And it was like, what? And
still
he had a
there.
Good game. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for Tony La Russa's managing for however he arranges his magic cards and decimal points. Anyways, that idea. There's no reason for the Cubs to keep any of these. They've already, the train has left the station. You can love these guys all you want, but meanwhile, even a hurt Kyle Schwarber is leading the Cubs at home runs. They're just, your point about they fall in love with their guys, and you basically need to go from the president of the fraternity to a KGB agent. You just need a cold heart based on what's best for this team at this moment, or whatever you're trying to accomplish. And Jed Hoyer has to do is like, what's the best thing for this team going forward? And whether you like it or not, the Cubs are going to have to rebuild. And there's these guys, you know, when I joke like the Cubs are choking, like this is the playoffs. But it really was. It kind of sort of was the playoffs. They started a 10-game road trip against teams that would be certainly a measuring stick. And they started with a combined no-hitter. And they have not won a game since. And in fact, one of their losses, they had a touchdown lead in the top of the first. And not only did they lose that game, they lost it by more than they had a lead. And now that pitcher who sucked is going to start on Tuesday. Jake Arrieta is still in your rotation. Talk about a white flag. So there's no reason to keep any of these guys around if you can't, or would you want to even have a discussion about extending a contract with Chris Bryant or Javi Baez? You know what? Let's take a break. We'll come back and discuss that. Because there are your all-star, Chris Bryant. We'll see how thrilled he sounds about this. But, Mark, I think this is such a... I don't know. Jed sounded so perplexed, nonplussed, so, okay, I have to send my kids away. And like you were talking about, like, I don't want to send them out. But you have to.
Yeah, they need a cold-hearted snake. And yeah. Let's just see who's awake. Who sang that song? 312-644-6767. Text it in. Cold Hearted Snake, a song from the 90s, I think. Yeah. So please, let's do a wake up call during the break here, Steve.
Awaken wake up call.
Yeah. You're so
206. Clever. Isn't this the third Rosenblum and Grody show since the Cubs have won a ball game? It is the second. It is. That's great. And the 252 says, no more Cubs deals with the White Sox. I think we need another 20 years off from that. 219, wait, is this Saturday? I'm confused. I need my bong. Well, you always need your bong. I mean, come
Look,
on.
Don't be confused. Just relax. We're talking to you right now. You're waking up. You're confused. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sure.
You're off today. Don't worry. I know it's Monday. You think maybe I got to go to work. You think it's Saturday. Right? It's okay.
Spark
it's okay.
Up.
Have another. Grab a cup of coffee. Have some toast or something, and
toast?
I don't know why I said
toast. Some avocado toast.
There we go. Avocado toast.
773 listening in Austin, Texas. Your suckage travels across multiple states. And the 708. I really like that appointment suckage. So he said other appointment suckage in life, sports. Boom. There's a segment. 708 trying to take. Yeah, and that's good. 740 listening from Red's Country. Oh, by the way, this is so good. I have a friend. Her name is Brandy. She's a flower child at my Trader Joe's. And she just thought, you know, in this sort of coming out time of like everybody's coming out, like yesterday, the 4th of July, with everybody gathering for fireworks and you're seeing so much traffic and so many pedestrians, so many people, and so much, you know, really
a lot,
celebration
Steve.
And a lot of layers, mm-hmm. a lot of layers.
Yeah.
So she thought it'd be really good to go see a Cubs game. She just hasn't been able to go.
Aww.
So less than a month ago when they were in first place, this would be fun. I'm going to do this. She hopped on and she got tickets to the Cubs game over the 4th of July weekend. What a better way to do that. Let's do that. Let's see the Cubs on the 4th of July weekend. They bought the tickets. They got the tickets. And that's when she found out the tickets were for the game in Cincinnati.
I was going to say, there is no baseball in our city right now. There is nothing.
There's nothing in Wrigley Field anyways. But, so, 740 listening from Red's Country, say hi to my friend Brandy. Because they went anyways. They drove. And I said, all right, whatever you do, stay away from Skyline Chili. It's potentially the only food that looks worse going in than coming out. Stay away from Skyline Chili.
Really?
So
I've had
go.
It. I find it. I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
Oh, Mark. No.
I had some Skyline Chili
We need an intervention.
Yeah. You know, Marty Brenneman and
Chili.
Right, and Thom Brenneman, they were all into it back when I was on the tour. Oh, yeah, you got to have some. People don't know that, but,
no.
You know.
219 got it. Paul Abdul saying Cold Hearted Snake. I'm not that high.
Bunch of people. hey, props to all you guys. 708, 614.
Yeah.
I see all of you that texted. So you're awake and you are on your musical game. I'll have more musical quizzes throughout the show today.
Do you know? Yes, that's true. Wagner's starting off with those things. So do you know she's the only cheerleader to have her uniform retired?
Really? She was a Lakers cheerleader for all you youngsters out there.
And she had her uniform retired.
That is awesome. why not?
Somewhere around the Staples Center, there's a Hard Rock Casino enclosure of her cheerleading outfit.
Hey, real quick, I know you're trying really hard to go to a break here, but I just wanted to let you know.
Trash Panda is.
Oh,
he thinks marrying people is so much easier than managing us and wrangling us.
Sorry, Trash Panda. If our boss, the fearless leader, Mitch Rosen, gives you crap, this one's on us. I'm sorry, Mitch. I know that.
No, he gives us crap for talking to Trash Panda about coming back. Hey, we'd love to hear about the Cubs and Sox today. Hey, okay, talk to you later. Yeah, hey, all right.
But my dad.
Got a pant load.
My dad, who just recently turned 80, really, really liked your what are you doing, Wegner segment on the movie quotes. He wanted to hear more. So I don't know if you have, like, if we could do, like, 80 to 100 today or 50 to 60, but he thought that was the bee's knees. So
we
I just
have
wanted
that.
To let you know. Okay.
Gary Grody, the recently birthdayed Gary
yes,
Grody.
Yes, he loved that
day,
segment.
Gary
he liked
Grody.
Your, we were doing the top,
Hi,
you
Gary.
Were reading from the top 100 or top five
yeah,
movie lines of all time. And what was the reference that was it that you were getting those from? Because I was talking to my parents and I didn't remember where you got that story. Was it AT?
Maybe ask Dave the Cat. I'm sure Dave the Cat listens to me more than you do, and I certainly understand why. 847. Look at that, playing the musical game. Does Brandy wear a braided chain made of finest silver from the north of Spain? That is so good. Thank you, 847. But she does not. It was the American Film Institute, AFI's.
Thank you.
100 at 100, the 100th year of AFI of making films, and the 100 quotes. They did 100 these movies, 100 that movies, 100 movie stars, stuff like that. But I thought that was just perfect. So, okay. I don't know. I guess we should take a break and we'll come back. And
we have to.
And do something that before Spilkis gets fires us all.
Yes.
All right. This is Saturday Suckage on Monday. The good news is the Wake and Bake Club travels any day of the week. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Brody, we're in for Mullane Ha, we're in for Bernstein Rahimi, we're in, and we suck so they don't have to. It is the 5th of July, the 4th of July observed on the 5th of July. We survived, we hope you did too. It looked messy out there. Did you do fireworks, Mark? Certainly the Cubs
no.
did not. They were not going to do anything that smacked of fireworks.
I was not in the I was not in the city for July 3rd, and I went to bed early last night. So I was a July 4th third party pooper this year. Nothing.
July 3rd, 4th party pooper. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you couldn't avoid them from where you are in your palatial high rise. Weren't they just shooting out right outside your window?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was actually laying in bed last night and looking out the window, and I did have a little bit of a show, and I had to close the curtains because I had to get some sleep so we could be up and talking about Chicago sports this morning.
Yeah, I did that too. So I want to talk about how much the Cubs suck and just how bad things can get. This is from right after the first inning last Wednesday. Cubs were in Milwaukee. And Marquee, that would be the Cubs network. And by the way, at 10 o'clock, Tony Andracki, who covers the Cubs for Marquee, will be here to discuss this team with us. Marquee tweeted out, single, single, walk, single, E6, L4, single, pass ball, fielder's choice, walk, walk, single. Everyone got that. 7-0 Cubs. So as we know, as we've discussed earlier, premature etweetulation can be an embarrassing issue. It can be difficult. That was the only game in the last five, I believe, that the Cubs have not lost by one run. It's a 7-run lead, and they lost that game. They've lost every other one by one run. And they're 1-9 on this road trip, and it started with a combined no-hitter. They've lost 9 in a row. Here, on Baseball Reference, here's where the Cubs are in third place. But there is a playoff odds calculator on this website. Now, just to give you an idea where the Cubs are now, their wild card chances are 3.4%. Their chance of making the postseason are 8.4% today. Their chance of winning the World Series is half of 1%. But what's really interesting here is, however you want to cut it, what's really interesting here is the percentage of change. This, in one day, yesterday, the Cubs dropped by nearly 3%. Their chances of getting into the playoffs dropped by nearly 3%. In the last 7 days, all losses, their chances of making the playoffs dropped by 38.1%. In the last 30 days, according to this playoff odds calculator on Baseball Reference, in the last 30 days, when the Cubs were in first place, by the way, their playoff chances have dropped 51.5%.
Jesus.
Now, by comparison, because I think this is really rather uplifting for the White Sox, their chances of making the postseason are 98.7%. It's 97.8% just to make the postseason. Their chances of winning the division are 98.6%. Their chances of winning the pennant are 20.4%. Winning the World Series, 9.7%. Their percentage changed nothing in the last day. In the last 7 days, their chances have improved 6.2%, and in the last 30 days, 3.6% to the positive. The Houston Astros, the cheating, dirty Houston Astros, are the favorite to win the World Series, 29.2%, but they're cheating, they're dirty, and Dusty's just looking the other way, the way A.J. Hinch did. So anyways, that's the uplifting part. The Cubs have just, if you didn't know that it was bad enough to lose 9 straight after a combined no-hitter and not score runs, there was a good example of it. Their chances of making the playoffs have dropped by more than half in the last 30 days.
The Cubs, Stevie Sunshine, have scored 2.4 runs per game during the 9-game losing streak. And I've been on top of the Cubs starting pitching all year. Once they traded Yu Darvish, I said the Cubs are not going to the playoffs because they don't have the starting pitching to thrive in the postseason. But the big problem since 2017 has been timely hitting, where it goes away in big games, in big series, and mostly in the postseason. And that issue is back once again. And the Cubs are, you know, like when we talk about pressing, usually I think that's a load of crap. Like that's usually the answer. Players go, oh, I'm pressing. I'm trying too hard. You know, I'm trying to make something happen. The Cubs are pressing right now. Wilson Contreras thrown out trying to take second base in the fifth inning with the Cubs with a lead yesterday. And I'm not mad at Wilson Contreras for trying to take that extra base, but it is just that mentality, because I think David Ross is promoting that kind of thing right now, because they've got to make some. But he gets thrown out, and they're leading at the time. That's the point at which I knew the Cubs were going to lose. That's what's going on in all these games right now. Over the last 9, there's a point in every single game. And I can go back and look, and I can probably tell you where that's the point where I know the Cubs are going to lose the game. Dan Winkler made it very obvious in the 7th inning that that's really where the Cubs were gonna lose the game, when he walks Jonathan India with the bases loaded. That's when you know things are going off the rails.
He didn't walk him. That's what's even better. He hit him with
the
pitch.
He hit him. Yeah, he does.
Loaded.
You're right. He hit him.
So Cub.
Yeah, he hit him. And so now you have nothing is working. Except, I guess Kyle Hendricks worked yesterday with his, you know, Hendricks, right? 6 innings, you know, 5 strikeouts. I love the 0 walks always by Kyle Hendricks' name. But here we go. The same problem that the Cubs have had forever is hitting. And remember how the season started this year? The Cubs were hitting nothing. Then all of a sudden they had the best run differential in baseball. And now here they are not hitting. So guess what? The decision is being made very easy for Jed Hoyer. What is today? July 5th. The countdown is on.
And it has been. But to underscore your point about the offense just dying, the way these guys have and inability to adjust. I mean, they were a great American ballpark on a hot, on a steamy day where it should have been batting practice. And they scored two runs. They had 11 hits on Sunday. Do you realize that was the first time in 21 games they've had more than eight hits?
Yes.
The first. So what happened was in the 20 games before that with eight or fewer hits, they were tied with the 72 Mets for the second worst streak of pathetic offense. And that left them two games behind the 1968 Yankees. The 1968 Yankees went 22 consecutive games with eight hits or seven hits or fewer. I mean, the Cubs, eight hits or fewer. That was, I think that was Mantle's last year. That's what you're getting. Well, this is Bryant's last year. This is Baez's last year. This is maybe Rizzo's last year. And your best trade bait right now is Craig Kimbrel, all-star, and Wilson Contreras. He's got a year of control. Those are your two best trade pieces. You have. Why wouldn't you trade Bryant and Baez? We could discuss that, but Trash Panda's saying that we have to break right now because that's what radio people do.
Take it.
Okay, we're just going to break then with absolutely a massive chasm in our momentum and our sports talk because we were told to talk sports, not wedding. And Trash Panda didn't like the fact that we were talking sports and not about the trash pastor wedding. So now we have to break because he's just being such a
selfish,
such a pissy pants about it. All right,
yeah.
We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll find some other nonsense to talk about. Talk about at top of the hour, the man who covers the White Sox for MLB.com, Scott Merkin, will be here. Now, there's a team with World Series dreams and a trade rumor and an ace pitcher who's got some splaining to do, Lucy. So we'll talk to him about that. In the meantime, this is Saturday Suckage on Monday. Feel free to, you know what, feel free to wake and bake. That's what we do. That's what you do when we're on the air, but we're just clarifying that it's Monday. This is a loyal listener for us. 773. Texter says, love being the stupidest person on the planet. Just showed up to work and everything is closed. No work today. Yes. But this person thought
sucking.
This person thought to text us that. I love the transparency in our listeners.
We're like a hotline.
Steve Rosenblum. We're therapy. Therapy. We're therapeutic. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody. Saturday Suckage on Monday. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You better wrap it up.
All right. Welcome in. Welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody. Saturday Suckage on Monday. The Wake and Bake Club always in session. Mark, this is from Chris Kamka, the Sultan of the Stat at NBC Sports Chicago. Madison Bumgarner tossed a seven-inning no-hitter April 25th. The Diamondbacks lost the next 24 road games. John Means tossed a no-hitter on May 5th. The Baltimore Orioles lost their next 20 road games. Zach Davies and the bullpen tossed a combined no-hitter on June 24th. The Cubs have lost their next nine games all on the road. Bad stuff. Coming.
I got some good news for you based on what you just read to us. Zach Davies starts for the Cubs tonight when they host the Phillies right here on 670 The Score.
This is just awful that Zach Davies is your optimistic.
Oh my God.
He's your sky point.
Considering he was the piece in the Yu Darvish deal, he best be the sky point.
Yeah. All right. That's sad. Not sad. He has to win because Jake Arrieta, this Mr. Sure Loss, goes on Tuesday. So it either stops tonight at 9 or it's going to be 11 working on 12 by the time Arrieta gets bounced in the first inning. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk about a team that's doing far better. They're on the other side of town. They're on the other side of the world. They're in first place, and they have a great chance to win the World Series. But Lucas Giolito has some spleening to do. We will talk to Scott Merkin about the White Sox next. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage on Monday, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.